Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to see y'all out in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. The sickness is hitting all over the place, isn't it? But we're more than conquerors. Father, we thank you for those who came out tonight to sit in your presence, to eat your fresh manna from heaven, sit at your table, hear your voice, Father. I'm asking you tonight to open up every ear in here tonight to the spirit realm. I'm asking you, Father God, to close their ears to the voice of the enemy right now. Open up the spirit man wide open, Father God, so the seed that's going in will be planted and it'll be rooted there. And Father, I thank you that these people are hungry and are thirsty and that they are part of the light and the gross darkness has no place in them. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' holy mighty name. Amen. You know, right now, saints, there's a great falling away happening. There's a whole lot of deception going on. And God said in his word that at the end times, if possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And so I would really be listening for God's voice very clearly. And as you're reading anybody's writings, I would really have myself in tune to what God is saying and not what man is saying, because there's a whole lot of things going on right now that are really tainted. So tonight I want to talk about an article that Jennifer LeClaire wrote she works for Charisma Magazine. And the reason why I'm going to go over this tonight is because I don't want you guys in here to be taken off course. I don't want you to be fooled by the enemy. There's a whole lot of things that are taking people out of the house of God. I just can't believe the sin that I'm reading about that pastors are doing. One pastor, he opens his church up, I think on Friday night, something like that, so they can have a sex party in there. But yet then they go in there Sunday and they have praise the Lord. You know, I just can't believe the things that are going on in the body of Christ. I know that God told us that these days were coming. But, you know, and you talk about it, but when they come, you just sit and you think, I can't believe that the church has come to this state. And, you know, God's told us from day one that he has forerunners. And he had them in reserve. And they are going to be the ones that he was going to keep. You know, they would not fall away. And God would keep them strong because they had committed themselves to him. And he was going to use these forerunners in this dispensation. Now, if you're a forerunner, then you need to prepare yourself for a battle. But you have to also know that even though there's a battle there, that God is fighting that battle for you. I've told God many times, God, I can't be entangled in all this warfare and still hear your voice and still do your works. And he said, you don't have to, because his angelic hosts are being assigned to us to fight our battles for us so we can hear God's voice and do whatever God's telling us to do. So I really want you to really keep your voice, your ears in tune to everything that God's telling you. So Jennifer said some months ago, before the mega church pastors started to embrace the practicing homosexuals into leadership, and before the Presbyterian Church USA rewrote its constitution to define marriage as between two people, the Holy Spirit gave me a disturbing word about the perversion we're about to see. Notice I said about to see. We're seeing the rapid rise of perversion even now, but I believe this is just the beginning. We'll see the rise of false prophets who deceive many because Jesus said of the increase of wickedness. Now God, this is me speaking, God spoke to me myself 2 years ago and told me that the false prophets were already on the scene and that the Antichrist were already sitting in the body of Christ. And that was 2 years ago. About 15 years ago, God told me about the perversion was going to be going across the land. And he said that the people would not believe what if you told them, but he said we had to tell them anyway. And this is what her whole article is about. The whole article is about the fact that the body of Christ does not want to hear the truth. They want to sit in their little world all their own and just go ahead and think everything's just fine, and it is not. So then Matthew 24, 3 through 15 says, now as he sat on the, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. And God told us a year ago, or maybe 6 months ago, that the spirit of deception had been put in the body of Christ. So he says here in Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And isn't that what's going on right now with all the cutting off of the heads? And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Jesus warned us that many false prophets would rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. When I was first born again in 1977, God gave me that scripture. I'm still not quite sure what it means, but he gave me that scripture. And then he gave me the scripture in the Old Testament where the preachers were doing, you know, preaching the word, but at night they were doing things behind closed doors that they should not be doing. And I haven't been able to find that scripture, but it is in there. It's in the Old Testament. If we are going to make it until the end, if we are going to be one that God uses and we end up in heavenly places, then today we've got to determine in our heart that we are going to serve God no matter what is going on around about us. It doesn't matter who walks away from God. You have to determine this is your walk with God, and you have to determine to stay in the will of the Father. It's just that simple. Because the enemy is on the prowl right now, and he's trying to pull everybody out of the will of the Father. And he's bringing all kind of deception to do it. I've never seen so many people get offended as what's happening in the body of Christ today. They get offended at the drop of a hat. So if you get offended, then there's something in you that is not godly, and you need to have it taken out. We cannot walk in offense. We never could, and we definitely can't do it in this dispensation, because things are too critical right now. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, for the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. People are rebelling against God's word every day. Every day, if you read the news, they're saying something about God's word that is not true. I want each one of you in here tonight to start reading your word for yourself. And God has promised us that as we read our word for ourselves, he will give us revelation knowledge of the word. He will show us the truth of the word. And if you just sit in a church and you just allow the pastor to read the scriptures to you or somebody else, you don't know if that's true or not, what they're saying. When I was first born again, I did an evangelistic meeting for somebody in West Virginia, and I went to church with my sister. And the men sat on one side and women sat on the other side. And nobody had their Bible. And this man was up there preaching. And I said to my sister when we got home, I said, he didn't even preach the truth of that scripture. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a godly man. Yes, everything he said is true. I said, no, let's get our Bibles. And let's just go over that scripture. I'll tell you what he said, and you see if that's what that Bible says. And they agreed with me that what he said was not true, that he twisted the scripture. But today, to this day, they still go to that church. Why do people do that? I said, he's leading you people astray. You need to read the word for yourself. And take your Bible to church with you and read your word for yourself. You know, they didn't flash it on the screen the way we do. And so he was up there telling them just any old thing you wanted to tell them about the word, just to keep the people. Then I found out that he was living with somebody, went married to them, had stolen, the woman belonged to another man. And I said, you're still sitting under him? How can you do this? Saints, I hope none of you ever do that. If you find out there's sin in that church and that pastor that's in, you need to run as fast as you can away from that church, because that thing will come down. It'll taint you also. It really will. All right, the mystery of lawlessness was working in Paul's day. And you can see 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And that mystery is revealing the depth of its wicked plot in our day also. When I shared the prophetic word below with my intercessors, it troubled them. Have you ever noticed that if you give a prophetic, share your prophetic word with anybody that has anything bad in it, they're always questioning whether or not that was from God. And she says, I understand why. It troubled me also. I decided to hold it back and pray it through, but the Holy Spirit recently reminded me of these words again. These words should not breed fear, but should open our eyes to what's coming and what, in fact, is already beginning to manifest right before our eyes. And here is the word. Now, I want to tell you, I've noticed one thing about the prophetic word to God giving you people. He's getting down to the nitty-gritty of your lives. He's getting right down to where, to the sin that he needs to get out of you. And if you don't allow him to get that out of you, you're not going to make it. So if God says something to you and you, it makes you get all upset, then that's a sure sign you really do need to do something about it. You need to get a deliverance from that thing. I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of holding hands with the Christians. What I mean is still changing their diapers, still giving them a bottle when they should be on the meat. We've been at this long enough now, we should be eating the best steak in town. I'm serious, guys. And how are you going to minister to anybody that comes to the door that isn't saved if you yourself are still drinking the bottle? If you yourself don't want to hear the hard truth of the word, you're not going to be able to minister to nobody. All right, this is what God had to say. Calling evil good and good evil. A tsunami of perversion and all manner of wicked sin is headed toward this nation. You've only yet seen the rumblings of what the enemy has planned. For many in your nation have called good evil and called evil good. Many in this nation have not believed you will reap what you sow. Do you know people don't believe that? They honestly don't. You have sown iniquity for decades and you have taken the hand of perversion. You have walked in step with abominations rather than resisting the temptations to deny my word and my son. The perversion in this land will increase and increase and increase. There will come a day when morality is no longer merely relative, but is persecuted. There will come a day when evil is considered good and good is considered evil. When that day comes, those who are hidden in the shadow of my wings will be insulated from the abominations around them. Hear what he said. When that day comes, those who are hidden in the shadow of my wings will be insulated from the abominations around them. Didn't God say that when the gross darkness come across the land, he would take care of all those who were truly following him? He would keep them safe. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, if you're not following him with all your heart, if you're not embedded in him, then I would really be concerned about whether or not I'm going to make it in this end time. I'm not trying to instill fear into anybody in here tonight. I'm saying you've got to get it together and keep it together. God says, I will raise up the likes of Abraham and Moses to deliver the righteous out of the hand of the wicked in that day. I will show those who run into my name. But no longer look and no longer think that you will turn the tide by your prayers alone. These things must be so. I warn you now to fear not. But to ready your hearts, buy your oil, be ready for my coming. And then that's where he stops, where God stops it. I remember God told me, a couple years ago, everything it seems like he's done 2 years ago. He was gearing up for this day, but he told me to preach on the 10 virgins. Because he said, my body is not ready for my glory. And this is what he told me today. He said, you know, everybody thinks they could sit in the house of God and still sin. Because they think that whenever my glory drops upon him, it's going to rip all the sin out of him. It's going to change him totally and completely, because that's really what God has said. But he said, that is not so. He said, I will take the sin out of those who are truly repentive and who truly want to be set free. And those who are just sitting in the house of God and sinning, he said, I will not rip it out of them. My glory will kill them. So if you've been sitting in the house of God playing games, just waiting for God to give that glory drop and rip all that stuff out of you, when you yourself aren't even fighting your desires and your temptations, that's not going to happen. You have to show God you mean business. You have to show God that you truly want to be set free. You have to be doing the things God has called you forth to do. There's just no in-between anymore, guys. The gray area God told us years ago is gone. And if we've been talking about love, and if you can't love your wife and your children, then you're not going to make it in the kingdom of heaven either. If you're always looking for greener grass, you know, the grass isn't greener anywhere. You must be in the perfect will of the Father at all times. She says it's not just sexual perversion. Right now, today, we are watching the rumblings of this rising perversion, but I know it's going to grow darker still. When you think of perversion, you probably immediately think of sexual perversion, and I know that's part of it. The Bible has plenty to say about sexual perversion in Romans 1:21-28 alone, and we're seeing that passage playing out right now, and I decided to go to Romans 1:21-32. Let's read that. Because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. But instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginations, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. I want to stop there. God has been telling me about a lot of people that I've been praying about, that they're walking in vain imaginations. That is a very dangerous place to be. If you're one of them, you need to get out of that right now. Because he said here, in their thinking with vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they made simpletons of themselves. And by them, the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man and birds and beasts and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their own hearts to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. If you want sin, God will let you have sin. He will walk away from you. He will not make you serve him. He won't. And you might as well get that in your head. And he's already told you guys it's not going to be a deathbed repentance. Right before you die, take your last breath, you're not going to be able to say, I'm sorry, Lord, because you know too much. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served a creature rather than your Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen, so be it. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. Otherwise, they became lesbians. And the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. Let's just stop there. If you really read your word, homosexuality has been on the scene since the Old Testament. That's why God destroyed cities, because of the homosexuality going on. So this is nothing new. You know, when years ago when I first realized that, that just blew my mind. I mean, it really did. I thought, wow, this has been going on since day one. There's nothing new under the sun. Isn't that what the word tells us? But that doesn't make it right just because it's going on forever. That does not make it right. It was sin then and it's still sin today. And so since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome. until they were filled, permeated, and saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, and covetous greed and malice. They were full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, and treachery, ill will, and cruel ways. They were secret backbiters and gossipers. Slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, and boasting. Inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient, and undutiful to parents. Do you ever read about some of the things that are going on in the world? You think, how in the world do you ever think about these things? Have you ever thought about that? But right here, God says that they are inventors of new forms of evil. Verse 31, they were without understanding, conscienceless, and faithless, heartless, and loveless, and merciless. Though they were fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. Isn't that what's going on? I have some relatives who have turned that way, and I've tried to talk to them, and you know, I am really surprised at how they justify what they do. And I said, there's nowhere in the Word you find that. Yes, it is. You just don't read the Word properly. And I said, well, I'm really not even going to go there with you because I will not argue the Word. I won't. I said, I know what the Word says, and it says it from the front to the back. And I was doing this with a whole lot of love. I really was. I wasn't trying to push them away. I was trying to win them to Christ. But I could not convince any of them that they were doing wrong. So they must fit into this category, right? God turned them over to reprobate mind. He'll let you do whatever you want to do, saints. But sexual immorality, polygamy, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, and legal bestiality that I've so often addressed is not the only kind of perversion. All that stuff is going on right now. There's perversion of laws, perversion of justice, perversion of speech, perversion of freedom, and most importantly, perversion of God's word. Apostasy is rising. The great falling away is underway. Do you all understand the falling away has already begun? If you don't know that, I'm telling you tonight, the falling away has already begun. And one night, God gave me a vision of him crying. He had big tears going down his cheeks. He said, I'm crying for all those who are not going to make it. All those who are going to be deceived and go to hell. God is already weeping for the souls that he already knows are not going to receive him as God and Lord. I don't want anybody in here tonight to be in that category. You know, whether people believe you or not, it doesn't matter, saints. It really doesn't matter. What matters is, are you living a holy life before a holy God? I don't know how many years ago God had me put this up here, be ye holy. He used to weep and weep and weep over the church to me when he was talking to me, that they would not live a holy life before a holy God. And you know, I can't quite comprehend that. When you read the Word and see what God did for us by giving us, turning over his son Jesus, and then what Jesus did whenever he was crucified. Why can't we? I'm talking to people who, all right, so you were messed up one time in your life, then you got in the house of God, and then you got it together. Why can't we keep it together? Why can't we keep living that holy life? And I'm just hearing God say, ask yourself, what is so impure within inside of me that the enemy has an open door constantly to come in and harass me? There has to be something inside of you that the enemy has ground to come and do things inside of you and get you to do things. I'm still bewildered at the fact that thousands upon thousands of demons can be in a person's body at one time. You know, with all that deliverance and all these things that come out, you know, that just totally amazes me that here our little vessels are and has all those demonic influences in there. And we're walking around, you know, not knowing they're in there. We're walking around just doing everything as God tells us to do, living a holy life. Then one day, boom, our whole life changes. Why? Because one of those spirits manifests. and throws us off course. And unless we really believe God's word that a Christian can have demons and we go get a deliverance, he's going to take you out. After praying over this and letting it set for some months, it became clear to me that the root of this tsunami of perversion is actually the perversion of God's word itself. You've seen a trickle of this, but it's about to break out like a flood. Again, we're seeing prominent pastors and entire denominations perverting God's word, twisting it to defend and justify perversion itself, and suggesting the rest of us are legalistic or unenlightened about the truth. Have y'all been reading some of these articles that they're writing? They're trying to make us believe that we're wrong and they're right. I hope that you understand who you are in. See, if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, they're going to convince you that they're right and you're wrong. You have to be strong in the Lord. You really do. You don't know how many times, and I'm quite sure I don't know how many times that you've went somewhere and cried and said, God, give me strength to keep going through this because of the persecution you're going through because you serve God and because you won't bend and you won't bow. And the enemy keeps coming after you over and over and over and over again, trying to get you to go his way. Don't listen to him. Run to the Father. He's there to give you strength. He's there to see you through it. It may have started with the gay marriage doctrine, but it won't end there. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. And that's it. You'll find that in Ephesians 5:16. I don't think it started with the gay marriage doctrine. It started with the babies, didn't it? Then it went to the gay marriage, didn't it? We need to make an appeal to heaven for spiritual awakening. I believe the people who walk in darkness can see a great light if we refuse to stop contending for revival. In other words, what she's saying here, she's believing that the people in the world that are not saved and are walking in total darkness, if we as a body of Christ will live a righteous life like God wants us to, and God can bring revival then to a dark world. He said our lights would dispel the darkness. Isn't that what he said? He doesn't lie. But we have to work continually to keep our light, I'd say, glowing. You know, it's because the devil wants to snuff out your light. You know, and I'm still amazed at Gary Whetstone and how that program I watched, because, you know, I know Gary Whetstone, and he was a businessman from a little child. And so he was all business oriented, and he started all these big churches everywhere, but he closed them all down, closed his businesses down, because God told him, you're not doing my work, you're doing man's work. That gave me a great, I already had respect for him, but that even gave me a greater respect for him, because he got on national TV and said, I was wrong in what I was doing. And I closed it all down because I only want to be in God's perfect will. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some other churches would do that? Admit they're doing wrong. Admit they're not in God's will. And just go ahead and start closing things down that are all man-made. I won't start anything in this church unless God tells me to. I don't start nothing. And in fact, if I start something, and this might be happening soon, and God says close down, I'll close it down. Because all you're doing is spinning your wheels. You know, and all you're doing is making a fool of God. It, you know, what God meant for good, the enemy got in there and messed it up, and now God said, stop it. And didn't God, hasn't God been prophesying that even in this year, people are going to get new assignments. The things that God had called them to do, he's going to say, no, don't want you to do that. He's going to give you new assignments. So we all have to be open for that too. We have to be open to the fact that, hey, you know, I might have a great, great calling, great ministry right now, but God might say, well, I'm going to close that down because I'm taking you a different direction. I'm going to do a new thing with you. And we can't let pride get in there and say, well, you know what, Lord, you know, we've been working this a long time. I don't care how long you've been working at it, guys. If God sees it going into a ditch and he wants to stop you from going into a ditch, and he just has you close it down because he can take you, let him take you someplace else. I'd rather let him take me someplace else and have people ridicule me because I fell into a ditch, right? I thought about one time I went to Bill Hammond in Florida and got a prophetic word. And the church was really, really booming at that time. And they said, I see you in a white car. And I didn't know at that point it was your ministry, right? And the white car is stuck in a ditch. But God's going to pull that white car out of the ditch. And it's going to be better than it was before. I've been in that ditch. And I know God's pulled me out of that ditch. And I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do with me. Now, when I was in that ditch, did I want to quit the ministry? Yes, I did. Because I couldn't see any fruit anywhere. But I kept praying. God said, I told you I would never close the doors. And if you close them, you're going to be the one to close them. But I'm telling you, keep them open. And we would come in here with just us, you know, just a four or five people. We'd preach the word. You know, and we would do whatever God told us to do. And, you know, and it was hard. It was hard. I'm not going to tell you it's easy because it was hard because you feel like a failure. You feel like you left God down. But that isn't what it was all about. But I did have the prophetic word to hang on to that God was going to get me out of the ditch. And he was going to put me back on the road. And it was going to be greater than it was before. That's why you need to have your prophetic words. You need to hold on to them. Because when you get in that ditch, you say, wait a minute, God already addressed this. I'm not going to stay here forever. God's going to pull me out of this thing. And when I was going through that, God would always say to me, daughter, don't die in your winter months. Don't die in the wilderness. He kept encouraging me, keep going, keep going, keep going. And it was hard because the other pastors were talking about me and what a fool I was to do with things I were doing. But see, I kept my eyes upon God. And this is the bottom line, guys. You got to keep your eye upon God. You have to know what God's calling you to do, and you just have to go ahead and do it. No matter what is happening, you just have to go ahead and do it. God had me do a revival, and he said very few people will come. And I forgot what else he told me, but everything he told me happened exactly. Very few people came, but the ones that came got truly blessed. See, sometimes God will just test your faithfulness to see if you'll keep on going. No matter if it looks like it was a failure. What you need to understand too, whatever God calls you to do is, and you do it, is never a failure. It doesn't matter if there's one or if it's 101 or if it's 1,000, it's never a failure. God knew exactly what was going to happen when he called you to do that thing. Okay? And I don't know what God's going to call any of you guys to do in the near future. I don't. But whatever he calls you to do, put your hand to the plow. And don't look back. In other words, just go ahead and do what God's calling you to do and keep on going and don't look back. Doesn't matter what's going on to the right or to the left. Don't look to the right or to the left. You know God's called you to do it. Keep your eyes upon God and keep on going. We need to make an appeal to heaven for spiritual awakening. I believe the people who walk in darkness can see a great light. That's in Isaiah 9:2. If we refuse to stop contending for revival. You know, I want to say something else, guys. You know, many times people have come to me and say, thank you for keeping these doors open because you brought me hope. One person could say that. You brought me hope. I know you struggled for years, but thank you for staying the course and keeping these doors open because tonight I was set free. You know, that's worth it all. If we only save one soul, we've saved more than one soul, but if we only save one soul, then that's probably the only soul that God had ordained for you to save. And it's your faithfulness, guys, that's going to cause that to happen. Our only hope is a great awakening. Back in 2007, the Lord told me things in this nation would grow darker before his light shined brightly again. I know things are on a course to grow very dark, very rapidly. But I also believe in the power of prayer and faith-inspired action. I also believe in the power of preaching the gospel. I believe God wants to bring transforming revival, a third awakening to this nation. And he does. But I want to tell you something else. You who hear God's voice, hear every word he says. When he told me everything he told me way back when, 15 years ago, he said, this is written in stone and you can't change it. And after I heard that, then other pastors were saying, oh, this isn't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. And prayer will do this and prayer will do that. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, it won't. It's written in stone. God told me it's written in stone. And all the prayer in the world isn't going to change it because God has to do what he has to do because of our rebellion. He said, the people have stepped over my son's blood, and I have to move now, because his blood is crying out for revenge. So I don't care if you hear, you know, you listen to God's voice. You hear what God's saying to you. Like I said, listen to every detail that he says to you. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to have to stand your ground. And when everybody else is saying, you know, all these great big, there's a couple prophets I won't follow anymore. Because as I listen to them, they change their mind at the drop of a hat in their prophetic words. Whenever you know that you know that you know that God told you something. Father, I thank you. I'm just hearing God say there's a great rumbling in the heavenly realm right now, this moment. The darkness is going to increase quicker than you all think it is. My son is standing at my right side, ever interceding for this nation. But this nation has done great and mighty abominations to the heavenly realm. And I must do what I must do. I'm not going to totally destroy, but I will bring this nation to its knees. This nation will know that I am real, and that those that serve me serve a mighty God. I am shaking and I am shaking and I am shaking. Don't be one of those that can be shaken. Stand your ground at all cost. Have I not told you that the enemy has already lost? Have I not told you you already stand in the victory circle? I have told this church over and over and over again, victory is yours, saith the Lord. I do not want you to tremble at what the enemy might do to you, because he can't touch you. Wasn't that my promise to you? That is still my promise to you. There will always be gainsayers. I'm asking you tonight to close your ears to the things of this world and open them wide to my voice and my voice only. This rumbling in the heavenlies, it's going to bring warfare after warfare after warfare. Many lights will go totally and completely out because of the gross darkness that's covering this land, even as I speak to you all tonight. But I'm saying to you tonight, I assure you without a shadow of a doubt that I will stand by you if you will keep your light burning. I will protect you and I will bring you through this gross darkness. There will be a landslide of lost souls brought into my house, but there will also be a landslide of people that's in my house leaving my house. Envy and greed have overtaken my people. They have forgotten me, the living God. They have forgotten the one that brought them out. But I'm saying to you people this night, I am that I am that I am. And I am with all those who will trust me. I am with all those who will forsake their evil ways and take my hand and follow me. Otherwise, I am not with you. I have been speaking to you years upon years upon years upon years. I have been begging you to get it together. And I told you there would come a day and a season when you could not get it together. Don't be one of those. Don't be one of those that's left along the wayside to rot in the prisons in hell. Take your stand this night to serve me and me only, for I am a true and a living God. And the warfare is going to be great. The warfare is going to blot out many lives. But I tell you this, is as you stand your ground, I will keep you safe. You will become a pillar that others can run into. You will become a refuge in the midst of the storm. I'm asking you tonight to grow up so I can spread you out. So I can take you to the far corners of this land and minister my gospel to those who have been deceived. Many have been deceived, as they said in my house. Many have been taught that they can do what they want to do and still come into the heavenly realm. And this is not so. I am for you and I'm not against you. If I'm against you, it's because you turned your back upon me. And you left me and you forsook me for the other gods. But I tell you tonight that I'm a God of love and of mercy. and I will fulfill the calling upon your life if you follow all of my requirements. Some of you, my requirements are many. Some of you, my requirements are few. But you must follow each and every requirement that I have given you. I have spoken, and so shall it come to pass. This nation will tremble. This nation will fall to its knees. But in the end, they will know that I am a true and a living God. And they will know that they walked away from their only form of peace. For some, it will be too late. For others, they will wake up in time. But I'm telling you in here this night, you have to wake up this night. You have to make your decisions this night. For I want to use you in this great awakening. I want to use you in this end time hour. But I cannot use you unless you yield every fiber of your being unto me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It is up to us to stand in the gap. It is up to us to make up the hedge. It is up to us to weep between the porch and the altar. It is up to us to pray without ceasing. It is up to us to decree and declare God's will on the earth. It is up to us to speak the truth in love. It is up to us to take the gospel to our city. And where she said it is time for us to weep between the porch and the altar. 4 years ago, God told me this is what had to be done. Gave me that scripture and he said, my intercessors have to weep between the porch and the altar. That was 4 years ago. This lady says we need to do it now. 4 years ago when God wanted it to begin. I wonder how many intercessors have been laying before God praying and interceding. I know it will grow darker and the perversion will rise, but I know that glory of the Lord will rise and shine upon us again if we are faithful to obey his commands. Nancy and Brett have been telling us about what they're trying to get their kids to study in school. It's a stench to God's nostrils. I'm so glad I homeschool little Gabriel. I don't want him exposed to that junk. And you even know Brett and Nancy, I don't want my kids doing that. The other kids are going to talk about it. It's going to rise curiosity in your kids' minds. And it might even sway them to go that way. We don't know, do we? If our kids are not rooted and grounded in Christ, if their minds aren't covered completely by the blood of Jesus, the enemy can, if you're not praying for your kids every day, the enemy can get in there and he can do anything he wants to. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're marked to work in God's kingdom, your kids are going to be attacked like no other children are. Because the enemy, he can't get you, so he'll go for your children. And you know, some parents would say, I'll quit God rather than see my kids suffer like this. Don't do that either. That's happened to me, and my one grandson said, Mama, please don't quit serving God. I can deal with this. But he's still suffering. I'm still interceding for him. Still asking God to take the enemy's hand off of him. So he doesn't have to suffer anymore because he's called to preach God's gospel. And he does a very good job of it. He did before he backslid. What price are you willing to pay? You have to ask yourself, what price am I willing to pay to follow God? And one day end up in heavenly places with him. We don't know what we're going to have to give up, do we? Between now and the day that we go home to be with the Father. We just don't know that. Unless God speaks to you and tells you, we just don't know that. Now, so he told me that my grandson would be all right. So I know that. So, you know, I don't care what the enemy shows me. I say, this is what my Father said about this situation. And I hang on to that for dear life because there's times that doesn't look like it's ever going to come to pass. But God spoke it and it will come to pass. Are you understanding this? So when you see your kids acting like total fools, like they just lost every bit of ounce of brain they ever had, don't you understand it's because of your calling upon your life? It's because Satan has come in to try to destroy your children, trying to get you out of God's will. He wants you to feel sorry for your kids. And, you know, if you just give up a little bit, then he'll relent and not harass your kids so much. But that's not true. Not only has your kids at this point, he has you too now. You can't do that. We just can't do that. God had to give up his one and only son, didn't he? And I'm not saying we have to lose our kids. I'm just telling you this might happen. What are you willing to give up to serve God? What if Satan came to you and said, if you don't serve me, I'm going to kill your daughter? Your reply should say, you can't do that because she's covered by the blood of Jesus. She's in the cleft of the rock. You can threaten, but you can't do it. Right? And then just keep her covered. Just keep doing exactly what you just told the devil. Because it's just true. They can't have your children. He can't have your children. Okay, so in Job, you know, he took everything from Job, did he not? But he said, you can do anything you want to, but do not kill Job. All right, so maybe some of your kids, that God, the Satan really put them through the hoops. But God has probably already said, you can't kill them, though. Are you understanding this? And so we just have to stand by in faith. Understand that God is in control because he said he is. And just trust him. No matter what our eyes see, just trust him. I think 5 years ago, God said this church, our scripture was Isaiah 60. Isaiah 61 through 3 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon you. The nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. We have our promise from God. We had the scripture up on the wall there the whole year. Arise and shine. This is for y'all tonight, though. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness of peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon you. The nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Keep your light shining because people are going to come to your light. I don't care what the enemy tries to tell you. As you let your light shine, it will draw the darkness to you and the darkness will be expelled. That's the way God's kingdom works. God always told me, daughter, never go down to their level. Bring them up to your level. And how many people, your husbands and wives, just to save their marriage, they'll go to the husband or wife's level, thinking that's going to save the marriage. And it doesn't. It doesn't. So don't ever do that again. I don't care, your kids or whoever, don't ever do that again. Your job or whatever, don't ever do that again. If they won't come to your level, you stay up there where you're at and don't worry about them. Because God's able to keep you. And he's able to stop the enemy from coming around and harassing you. Are you ready tonight to let your light shine? Are you ready tonight to have God increase that light that no matter where you walk, wherever you go, that light will dispel all darkness around about you? If Catherine Kuhlman could carry such a light that when she walked out of her hotel room and started down the hallway, everybody in the hallway went out in the spirit because of her light, why can't we do that? We can have a light that bright. It can dispel all, even in our homes, in our workplaces, in the grocery stores, it can dispel all light. If you're one of those that you want God to increase your light tonight to dispel all darkness, I want you to come up to the altar. And God said, as you're coming, God's saying to tell you that you have to have ever-increasing faith. In other words, every day your faith has to increase. You can't live on yesterday's faith. Are you listening here?